as you are familiar with this, with the BIPOC Voices program here, you know, I hope, so special welcome to those of you who are new, and welcome to everyone. So before we get started, you've already heard about me. I'd like to get to know you. So how about, you know, put your name in the chat and where you are, what land you are seated on, you know, like what is the indigenous land that you are seated on. And also maybe one word of what's present for you right now, so I get a feeling for how you're feeling. Yeah, thank you. You know, and it's nice to get a feeling for how you're feeling, what's the space that you have inside of you today, you know, open, joyful, curious, overwhelmed, tired, thinking about the immeasurables, fatigued in the body this morning, and anxious yet hopeful. So I just want to bring all parts of you in our group today. And I want to start with a brief meditation. I'm going to guide you through a brief meditation on the elements in the body. So finding a posture that's comfortable to you, either in the seated or standing or lying down, checking in with your body to see where is your body right now. What does your body need? And if you're doing the meditation lying down, then I suggest that you, one of your arms, you move so that the fingers are pointing towards the ceiling. So this way, if that arm drops down as, you know, you move from lying meditation to sleeping meditation, then it kind of wakes you up and you come back into lying meditation. So as you are in this stationary posture, starting out, sensing where you are making contact with the earth element in your body and with the earth. If you're sitting, maybe your feet, the back of your thighs, your buttocks, and your back are touching the chair. If you're lying down, sensing where your body is making contact, you feel your arms, your legs, your back, and your head making contact with your cushion. In a seated posture, especially if you are sitting cross-legged, then really sensing where the side of your feet and your calves, along with your thighs and buttocks, are making contact with the earth. Sense into this contact with the earth and imagine there are roots energetically growing from your feet, like you're a plant or a tree, and they're going deep into the earth and connecting with the earth. And as I do this in my imagination, my body seems to drop down a little bit. So see if that is your experience. Sensing into your bones, the bones of your feet, all the bones in your toes, metatarsals, all the different bones that will form your feet, your heel, your shin bone, your knees, your thigh bone. Inviting your bones to sit and release into the earth. Sensing your buttocks. Sensing the hip bones. Even though you can't feel into the bones, just taking your awareness in that area. The hip bones are the heaviest bones in your body. Inviting the hip bones, the earth element in the bones, to rest on earth, be held by the earth. Sensing your spine and the ribs that form your chest. Again, if you don't feel into them individually, just getting a general sense of the bones in your chest. Inviting them to relax and release. Sensing your shoulder blades, your shoulders, and bringing a quality of tenderness, love, and gratitude as you touch these different parts of your body with your awareness. Gratitude for these body parts working for all these years without any effort or attention on your part, on your any conscious attention from you. Sensing into the bones of your upper arms and forearms and fingers, your hands and your fingers. Inviting the earth element to be heavy and release and rest. Sensing into your spine along the back of your neck. And then sensing the bones along your head. And finally, the jaw bones and your teeth. Inviting gravity to do its work so your body can release and does not have to do the work of holding you upright. The additional effort that your body puts in, you can let it go. And as you're sitting, earth, sitting and breathing on earth, this breath is the aliveness in our body. Sensing your breath in the movement of your lungs, movement of your chest and your belly. As you breathe in this air element and this invisible nourishment that we take in from the air, that the Chinese call the qi or qi, and we Indians call it prana, life force. As you breathe in the air, sensing this air element moving your lungs, moving your chest, and through your lungs, this air element travels through your body. This amazing intelligence of your lungs that takes in all of this air and knows which part, just the oxygen, should be sent out to the rest of the body. This wonder that's happening in our lungs every moment, where the oxygen is taken out and sent to the bloodstream, so that this air element can nourish every single part of our body. Sensing this air element moving through your body, carried in the bloodstream. Feel it nourishing your legs, your torso, your arms, your neck and your head and your face, the life force, this invisible life force that we breathe in. And as you touch into the air element being carried all over your body, to nourish every cell, it's carried in the liquid or the water element of our blood. So sensing into the water element in your body, you're over 80% water. Very similar to this blue planet that we live on. Sensing into your physical heart, the innate intelligence of the physical heart. That brings all the blood and circulates all the blood in our body. Feeling into the rhythm of your own heartbeat. With so much water in our bodies, we are deeply connected to the moon, just as the ocean we are deeply connected to the sun. Sensing the flow of the water element that connects all the different parts of our body. Innate intelligence of this water element, the blood that carries nourishment from not just the air that we breathe, but also the food that we eat. This nourishment goes to all the different cells in your body. And then sensing into the fire element, the hottest part of our body is the stomach. It's innate intelligence of the fire in our body that keeps a certain temperature throughout our body. This innate intelligence of the fire that cooks our food, but also does not burn the cells inside our body. Sensing into the stomach area, your abdomen, where all this digestion takes place. Where apples and carrots and celery are converted into nutrients that are carried to every single cell of your body. This innate intelligence of the fire makes all of these foods we eat into nutrients that our body absorbs. As you're sitting and breathing, and following these elements, the dance of these elements within your body, sense into the spaciousness. Spaciousness inside your body. Spaciousness in your mind. Spaciousness in your emotional heart. Sense into the space outside your body, in the room that you're sitting in. Sense into this space outside your home. The sky above. And the space beyond this earth. A space where all the planets and stars and other galaxies exist. Sense into that spaciousness. This vast existence within which we exist. Having this incredible moment of sitting together in our meditation. As you touch into this space, know that you are stardust. That's truly what you're made of. You're a dance of these five elements. And as and when you're ready, gently move your fingers, wiggle your toes, take your time to come back into the room as we bring a meditation to a close. If you need to stand and stretch, please do that. I want to share some dharma with you today. You can hear me okay? Yeah? Okay, I was just wanted to check in on that. So I wanted to share some dharma with you today, but I wanted to also take a moment and just have you check in. Why do you come to listen to dharma? So I'm just going to take care of one thing and I'll come right back so that my dog doesn't disturb us. We have a new member in this BIPOC voices, but I don't want her voice in here. So just give me a moment. Okay, thank you. So take a moment and see, why is it that you come to listen to dharma? So most of us will come in and, you know, it's for our spiritual practice that we come to the dharma, right? To the dharma talk, right? So here it is Sunday morning and you're all coming here today. It's for your spiritual practice. We Buddhists know a lot about our spiritual practice, but what I'm also wanting us to look at today is also some of the worldly things, right? Like global warming. That's a real issue for us. And once we deal with, we learn how to relate to these worldly issues, then it opens us up into our dharma practice even more, because we've addressed an anxiety that exists in our background on a constant basis, right? So that's where I'm coming from today. So I wanted to talk about how activism is an expression of love. So I call it metta activism or loving kindness activism. Right? So, you know, in our daily life, we are seeing a lot of changes in our climate and, you know, all the, all this that I'm sharing here with you, you probably already know, but I just want to quote the EPA, the US Environmental Protection Agency, how they describe climate change. You know, so they are saying, there's a 1.8 degree Fahrenheit increase in temperature from 1901 to 2016, right? And of course, it's increased more since then. And so they say that as the global average temperatures increase, you know, there is change in rainfall, floods, there may be droughts in certain areas, and overall, there you might find that there are frequent and severe heat waves, right? So we are seeing all of this in our environment. And they also talk about how when the oceans and the glaciers are, you know, they experience changes as well. The oceans are warming, becoming more acidic, ice caps are melting, and sea level is rising. Right? So you might experience this in the area where you come from. So I come from Sedona, Arizona, that I moved to recently. And so here we are in Arizona, we are having a heat wave. Phoenix has had the highest temperature record of high temperatures, right? So again, in California, where I come from, the Bay Area, so I keep track of their temperatures and their weather as well. So they had drought for a long time. And then earlier this year, we had a lot of rain. So finally, you know, the drought ended, but currently they're having a heat wave there, And then the northeast of US, they are having, there was a flood watch because of high rainfall, right? So, so let's talk about the Buddhist perspective on climate change. So I want to share Geshe Wangchuck. He's one of the senior monks from the Garden Sharadze Monastery in Tibet. And he says, from a Buddhist perspective, when we ask how we can overcome climate change, one of the answers is that people do not feel the problem is actually directly related to them. He says, we would say that wisdom comes from interdependent origination. This means we are all interconnected. This is reality. So if we believe we are all interconnected and dependent on each other, those natural resources that we have in this world, like water, trees, mountains, and air, are how we stay interconnected. So he says, therefore, if you understand this, destroying those resources causes direct harm to us and also indirect harm to many, many other beings. So this is not only a worldly purpose, but a beyond worldly or a spiritual purpose. Once you harm something we all depend on, you also harm yourself, he says, right? So I'll read you a poem by Amanda Gorman. And Ileana, if you can please put that on the screen, the first one. Thank you. So Amanda Gorman, my favorite poet, she's the Youth Poet Laureate of US. So she says in her poem, Earthrise, we've known that we're caught in the throes of climatic changes, some say, will just go away. While some simply pray to survive another day. For it is the obscure, the oppressed, the poor, who, when the disaster is declared done, still suffer more than anyone. Climate change is the single greatest challenge of our times. So what she's saying, is that who is affected by this climate change? The ones who are affected are the ones that are the obscure, oppressed, and the poor. Those are the ones who are affected the most when the disaster hits. And so Rihanna Haynes, who is a senior legal advisor for climate analytics, she says what this means in terms of demographics is that the Black people, Indigenous people, and the people of color, BIPOC, are disproportionately experiencing the impacts of climate change, which are flooded homes, vanishing sources of drinking water, disrupted local economies, and extreme heat waves. In many countries, economic, environmental, and health vulnerability is also tied to the question of race. Communities who have less access to different sort of resources tend to be communities who are more easily exploited. And this is not news to us in our BIPOC community, that the climate crisis is now shedding light on yet another form of racism, which is environmental racism. So it really makes all of us, it affects all of us on the climate affects all of us in many, many different ways in our lives. And as Dharma practitioners, we are aware, we are called on to be aware of the internal and the external, as the Satipatthana says, right? So internally, what is going on for us, and externally. So as I describe this external environment to you, checking in with yourself, what happens internally for you? What emotions arise? What thoughts come up in your mind about this, what I have just shared? Does this lead to a papancha mind which proliferates, a mind that proliferates, and then it ties to your own history, to the history of your communities, and, you know, to the past trauma or past abuses? Does this bring up aversion in the form of anger or rage or frustration or sadness? What I'm really asking is, does it cover and close your tender and vulnerable heart? Because in our Dharma practice, there is another way of practicing activism, and that is activism with love and kindness in our heart. That's why we come to our meditation practice, right? To me, the meditation practice is where I can find a way to live a fruitful and a worthwhile life with an open heart. I can meet my external difficulties with an open heart, right? And it's possible, I truly believe it's possible for us to be metta activists, activists with love in our heart. And activism to me is really a form of love. It's an expression of love. It's a love for our Mother Earth, right? We have to, what I'm asking is, how do we shelter our heart so that we can witness the abuses to the sacred earth and still reside in a field of love in our own heart mind? I truly believe that's possible. But we have to really be conscious and make that our intention, a moment to moment living in that way with an open heart. Okay. So I'll share with you some stories, because sometimes what happens is, you hear and you respond to the call of the Mother Earth. You know, we come to our meditation practice to release the clinging and to work directly with greed, hatred, and delusion. But sometimes there is a call in your life. There is a life situation, there are life events that lead you on a certain path. And it just, you know, that's just the call. And you rise up and, you know, come into a closer relationship with the Mother Earth. So before I share my first story with you, I want you to bring to mind an image of, maybe you have seen rice fields. You know, rice fields require a lot of water. So that, I'll just put that out. If you haven't seen rice fields, they're usually on hillsides, and they are waterlogged, right? So they require a lot of water to grow rice. So I want to share the story of my friend Khanda Mason, who was a successful businesswoman, a Black Dharma teacher. She's still on the Spirit Rock board. She's a CEO, successful CEO of a company. And she used to lead retreats, not just at Spirit Rock, but also, you know, take a group of people to Costa Rica. So and she was living in Oakland some time back. So someone tells her that she should come and take a look at, you know, a certain way of growing rice, right? So she gets pulled into that, gets curious, and finds herself going to India to learn how to grow rice with bare minimum water, because it seems there is some, and I'm not the expert on rice growing, but there is a way that you, if you plant the rice with just a few, you know, like 7 inches or so space around it, it requires less water. And it seems India, the Indian farmers have figured this out, and they have been growing their rice in that way. So, you know, so the, she goes to India and she learns how to do that, comes back, and one thing leads to another, and she sells her successful business in Oakland, California, and moves to Louisiana, where she buys a farm and she becomes a farmer. Not just growing rice, but then growing other crops so that they require bare minimum water. Because as you're well aware, there is a water shortage in our, on our planet, right? But we still need to grow crops. So very innovative method. And so she starts then working with Black farmers and helping them grow, you know, all the different crops on their land. And she's working with a collective of Black farmers who own their own rice grinding mill. And it's the only Black-owned rice mill in US, right? So complete change in her life. And that's what I call, you know, becoming a, you know, having a calling in your life and listening. And then the heart just leads you to where the heart leads you. And you end up changing your life just so that you are in service of Mother Earth, right? So the second person I want to talk to you about is Sister Santachita. She's a nun with the Aloka Vihara. I should say she was a nun with the Aloka Vihara nuns. Right? So that's a monastery of all nuns. And I won't give you, I won't go into the background of that, but you're welcome to research them. It's, I shouldn't go into the backstory. It's very powerful. So if you have a chance, please do look at that. And so they, these nuns, they are in Aloka Vihara. And so Sister Santachita decides that she, after, you know, more than, she became a nun in her 20s, and now, you know, she's in her later years, past 50. And so, you know, like after like almost 20 or 30 years of being a nun, she decides she's going to move to San Rafael. She's going to leave the monastery and move to San Rafael. Because she has now created a earth room. She is very much into eco-activism. And so this earth room that she has created is a very feminine way of bringing in activism, because it's a, earth room is a contemporary temple where dharma, ecology, and art meet. And she holds weekly meetings over there. And so I want to share a photo with you. So if Ileana can please place the photo, the first of the photos, that's number 2 on the screen. Yeah. Okay, so this was going to be, sorry, this was going to be my opening to talk about how love, really, real love is where we expect nothing in return, right? So let me share with you a photo of Sister Santachita and the Earth Room community. And so they are sitting, this is an initiative, so they're sitting on the side of the street, bringing awareness to the climate crisis. So she says, our goal is to grow this simple protest that seeks to bring attention to the current climate crisis by a simple act of silent meditation. So they practice silent meditation when they are sitting here. And people may stop by, may not, but what they are doing is they are bearing witness to the destruction of our world, and in doing so, strive to awaken others to engage in a monumental, non-violent effort to reverse climate change. Right? So this is what Sister Santa Chita is doing, and I think it's a really radical step for her to change the direction of her meditation practice and her life as she comes into the later years. Because as you know, nuns, monks and nuns, they live on donations, right? So it's a very radical thing to do at this age for her. Then two other teachers that I want to bring to, you know, bring their work, highlight their work is Tanisara and Kittisaro. I hope you have studied with them. If you haven't, I highly recommend you study with them, because they bring in the feminine. They bring the Kuan Yin practice when they do the teachings. So they, again, Ileana, if you can please share the screen. So this is Kittisaro. Again, they have formed a People's Alliance for Earth Action Now, Payon, an organization where the teachers offer all kinds of teachings, you know, including yoga, meditation, qigong. And so all these teachings, the offerings from those teachings are, the proceeds from those teachings are used to support Amazon activism groups. Okay, so what Payon does is they are basically focusing on climate activism as well, but they're spiritually based climate activism, and they're building resilient and collaborative communities. So here you see Kittisaro holding a sign. When they did, during the Earth Day, they also did a sit out, basically. Right? So they are, if you can show the next photo, please. So this is Tanisara, and in the background you can see Kittisaro, right? And so, you know, they offer these different events and they offer courses related to climate change and how to live in an equitable, thriving, and sustainable world. And it's not just about offering, you know, or protesting, I should say, not just offering these different courses and classes and events or participating in these protests, but then there is also the aspect of bringing in the Dharma. So as we bring ourselves closer and we start to look at the climate change, the climate crisis, so many thoughts come up in the Papancha mind. So Tanisara and Kittisaro, they talk about how to let these thoughts subside. How to let these thoughts subside and let the nature of knowing arise within us, where all things merge. And this way we taste liberation. So these are, you know, radical reflections, radical way of coming into your own Dharma practice and coming into the liberation aspect, but you're walking through the suffering. And the biggest of the suffering we are facing as on our planet right now is the climate crisis, right? So, you know, I want to also share my own personal story. I work, I started teaching climate dharma with Tanisra and sister Santachita in a class series last year in October, and it culminated into a very beautiful retreat at Spirit Rock last year. And since then, we've been holding weekly sitting groups. Right now, we are reorienting because of the summer, so we're taking a break. But that's what we do, is we bring in the Dharma from this difficult aspect and see how we can find liberation of our heart and our mind through our Dharma practice. Right? So for me, what has happened is, again, it was a life change. I did an early retirement from my day job, and I left my home in San Francisco after 19 years, and then I moved to Sedona, Arizona. And so here I find myself connecting so deeply with nature, and it's almost like, if you know Henry Thoreau and his transcendental experiences at the Walden Pond, you know, I feel that's what is happening for me as I have this close connection with nature. As I'm sitting here, I'm on the first floor, and outside my balcony, I can see these red rocks. And right till my balcony, I've had, you know, rabbits and javelinas and coyotes come. So the, you know, being so close to nature, it does something. It really changes something inside. I see snakes as I walk. I was moving one snake that was walking across the street. And so I went and I picked up a stick, and another snake fell off that stick. So, you know, it's like nature is so close and so alive out here. I have a gluten allergy. So outside my balcony, there were some wheat stalks that were growing. So my first thought when I moved into this place is, oh my God, wheat. And so the next day I find some rabbit comes, you know, a rabbit family comes, and they're eating that wheat. The day after that, these javelinas, which are like large, they look like pigs, but they're not pigs, wild boars, you know. So they came and they ate the rest of it. So there's something about, you know, being so close to nature where there's no separation. You know, there is just no separation. So that's a very new experience for somebody like me who's lived in cities. I grew up in Bombay, in Mumbai, in India, a teeming city of like millions of people. And then I've, you know, lived in San Francisco, which is also a very busy city. So coming into this space, it's really made me realize that, you know, as Geshe Wangchuck says, being surrounded by nature, what comes out as my truth is that I can see that making ourselves more altruistic will influence the protection of all those resources to which we are all connected. So again, quoting him, Geshe Wangchuck, he says, first you have to transform yourselves from contaminated things like greed, craving, grasping, unnecessary needs and wants. There is nothing wrong with having more, but while you're in that process, you ruin the resources for everyone, because it's the demand for these things that comes from self-cherishing. We no longer concern ourselves about others. So as I come closer to Earth, I've come to realize just how alive Earth is. She's bursting with life, from microorganisms to the splendor of this night sky that's lit up with stars. And we are intricately woven into her fabric, and what we feel as humans, she expresses. We are the five elements, as we experienced, I hope you experienced in the meditation. And how she expresses, you know, so like the last election, the whole country went through so many mixed emotions, right? And violence erupted in our country. So it's no coincidence that's when we had some very horrible fires in California as well. When now we've been, you know, we have come out of the lockdown. We've been in lockdown for 2 years with COVID, and we witnessed death, destruction, racism, especially of our Black community and our, trans friends. We witnessed racism with them, which still continues. And now as we've opened up, there is, you know, it's a very emotional time for us. And so we are now experiencing these rains and these floods, right? The earth is alive and well. The trees are her blood. And these plants and trees, they breathe out this fresh oxygen, you know, that we humans take in. This is her hair. She's very alive. And just like we had the hashtag MeToo movement, where the feminine was standing up for her rights and saying no. Feminine was learning to presence herself. Women were reclaiming themselves materially and symbolically. Similarly, this earth body, when we see these floods, we see these fires, you know, she is speaking loudly. She is presenting herself, right? And this is also a time which is a call for us to take our Dharma practice to a deeper level and to cultivate a conscious and a mindful connection with the earth, a heart-based connection with the earth, and a heart-based activist. And I know it's true that we are living in a very difficult time, and we are being called to stand up, take a stand as Dharma practitioners, but this is also a momentous occasion to stand by our values, whatever your values may be. As Dharma practitioners, we know the truth of interdependence. We know we cannot be healed and whole alone until all the BIPOC and LGBTQIA are healed and whole, until this planet is healed and whole, until all the animals are healed and whole. We cannot be healed and whole until all the children are healed and whole. And how lucky and privileged are we that we can consciously choose our lives so that they go in a certain direction. So it's not just that these people that I showed you the images of, you know, I didn't show you Kanda, but, you know, Sister Santa Chita, Tanisra, Kitisaro, they are not the only leaders, but each one of you is a leader in this journey as you stand up for Mother Earth. You do this by the companies that you choose, by the products that we choose, by the foods that we eat, by choosing the water that we drink. By all of these practices, we choose how we stand by. We choose to be leaders and how we stand by the earth. Each one of us is being called to become a leader. So you may ask, why me, right? But if not you, then who? And if not now, then when, right? So hopefully this talk has inspired you and motivated you in remembering how you spend your precious life. And I'll close with the words of Amanda Gorman. And again, I'll wait for Ileana to share. So again, in the poem Earthrise, she says, "So I tell you this not to scare you, but to prepare you, to dare you, to dream a different reality, where despite disparities, we all care to protect this earth. This riddled blue marble, this little true marvel, to muster the verve and the nerve, to see how we can serve our planet. You don't need to be a politician to make it your mission to conserve, to protect, to preserve that one and only home that is ours, to use your unique power to give next generations the planet they deserve. We are demonstrating, creating, advocating. We heed this inconvenient truth because we need to be anything but lenient with the future of our youth. Okay. So with that, I wanted to ask you, how are you using your leadership skills in this precious life of yours as you stand by and support Mother Earth? How is your leadership manifesting in small and large ways, like maybe even recycling, right? And I live in Sedona, trust me, it's not something you can take for granted. I have to, after living in California, where we had 3 bins for recycling, here I have to drive several miles to find the 3 bins where I can drop my recycling. So even every single small and large ways, how are you manifesting your leadership? And, you know, so please share with us how you support Mother Earth with your thoughts, actions, and your prayers. So thank you so much. Thank you. I just deeply appreciate your practice. And I want to just close, take a moment and close with metta for everyone here, for all of our friends, families, our communities, our country, all the other countries, all the beings, all the plants, the trees, the mammals, fishes, insects, birds, and animals that we share this blue planet with. May you be safe. May you be healthy. May you be happy. May you be at ease. And dedicating the merit from our practice that has arisen today, may the merit that has arisen from our practice today be to the benefit of all beings, seen and unseen. May all beings everywhere be safe, fed, and sheltered this day. Thank you so much for your kind attention, for your Dharma practice, and for your deep heart. I hope that your activism continues as an expression of love. And feel free to unmute and say goodbye.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.